the morning. This is not really a grain shirt, it's pollen. But the Lord knows we need it, huh? And he's given us an abundance, so we can be thankful for the abundance the Lord's blessed us with in this season. It's good to see you, and I pray you've come expecting God to do great things today as he fills us again with his Spirit, in the presence of his Spirit. Before we begin worship, let's look at a few announcements. You see those listed, Mondays 9 to 12, Woman's Auxiliary Lap Quilt Project. March today at 4, Ladies Auxiliary Meeting. March the 25th at 6:30, Planning Meeting for the Howe Benefit at the Old Pinkfield Cafeteria. Coming along really well with that. Do you have anything to report? Are you pleased?
I'm pleased.
You got plenty of help?
Still looking for help.
So y'all didn't do what you were supposed to last week. Now. Beverly's over here. So if you can help the day of, you see the date listed, April the 4th. Meet over 100 people. If you can help the day of, let Beverly know and get your name on the list. All right?
Purchase plates.
Yeah, you can buy 200 or 300 plates. If you won't do that, be fine too. Or make donations. Bible study March 27th on Thursday at 10 a.m. So we got some business sessions coming up. So by next Sunday, those who are rotating off, we need to name for nominees, turn in to Dennis by next week. Friday, April the 4th, we said, is Cindy Howell Benefit. Anything you can do to help be greatly appreciated. Let Beverly know. Beverly McLaughlin. Sunday, April the 6th, at 5 p.m., we'll have our official board meeting. Then April the 13th, at 5 p.m., the quarterly business session. You see the names of deacons listed and their phone numbers. If there's anything that you need, feel free to contact. And any other announcements?
On that April 13th, that's also pre-Easter service. I don't think we're going to bump into the quarterly meeting. The pre-Easter service is at 6:30.
Okay. Any others? Yes.
Just a reminder, there is a sign-up sheet in the Sunday School building for Experiencing God. There's a group study that we've done. And if you have any questions, just feel free to ask me or any of the people that run it before. But you really just want to offer credit. So please come see me, talk to me about it, and sign up. Thank you.
Also, the prayer walk. If you've not signed up for the prayer walk, there's a sheet out front. Any others? All right, let's begin worship.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Stand, take your bulletin as we read. Here to worship the name of the Lord our God. The name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And this is the day that the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him.
Sing praises to him.
Tell of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, great and small.
Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory.
Father God, we are so thankful for your presence here today through your Holy Spirit. And as you reign, Lord God Almighty, as you reign, we give you the reins of our hearts, that you can move in us, that we can be the people you've called us to be. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to 648. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4 of Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Linda Faye has our scripture reading this morning.
Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, and it's chapter 55, verse 1, New International Version is where we are. Okay, this is an invitation to the thirsty. It's God's offer of mercy to us, an invitation to abundant life and the Lord's salvation. Come, all ye who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and sell. Come buy wine and milk, without money, without cost. Why spend your money on what is not bread, your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear to come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler, a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations who know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, the righteous, unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Okay, our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, and it's chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, and it's talking about the parable of the barren fig tree, pointing out, repent or perish, turn from your sins or die, and really a call to us for repentance. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. So Jesus answered to them, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others that were living in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find fruit. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it. I'll fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Fall down, you
continue to worship as we pray. There are many needs, and remind us all on the back of our bulletin as you pray during the week, lift those up. Do we have any names to call this morning? Okay.
Barbara
Novicki. Barbara Novicki. Okay. Any others?
My name's Brittany Paskey. She had her baby this past Tuesday a little early. The baby's in the NICU. We just keep Brittany and the baby. Right?
Brittany and the baby. Okay. Any others?
I have a praise report.
Praise it.
I want to thank everybody. Thank you so much for your prayers for Carl Humphrey and for all these people that are suffering sickness. And because your prayers have. Carl did not hear anything further on the gene therapy, and that'll come. But her tumors had shrunk, and Carl is obviously feeling better. So your prayers, Lord, and thank you so much for your prayers and the word of God. Thank you.
Amen. Any others?
Continue to pray for Jackie Kennedy.
Jackie Kennedy, yes.
And Rhonda
Callie. And Rhonda Callie, okay.
I have extra prayer for Cindy Howell. She was unable to get her treatment this past week due to her having a cold, so it's been pushed off another week. So just...
All right, pray for Cindy. She missed the treatment because of a cold, so we need for the Lord to intervene. Any others? We'll pray for one another. And the blessings, God, there's a lot of bad things going on, but I tell you, God's blessings are much greater than the bad things. Okay? All right. Let's take action as we pray.
Let's turn to 295, stand and sing the first and last verse of Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Lord, we come before you in great humbleness and gratefulness, thanking you for everything you do for us. We ask you now to bless these offerings we give back to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Stand for the doxology, please. May be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 through 19. We'll read it here in just a minute. I'm going to kind of do a little review here. We've been in a series examining the early church, the mindset, their methods, the message they preached, their mission, their power, and the advantage that the early church possessed as believers of Jesus Christ. They turned their pagan, non-Christian culture into an increasingly Christian culture. And it seems like that's the opposite day in America. We were once Christian, but now we're becoming increasingly non-Christian. We need to learn from the early church, amen? So why and how did this happen? We discovered that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives gave them this great advantage. What they needed to do in their culture, they couldn't do. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and what they could not do, the Holy Spirit could do. We've seen the role of the Holy Spirit in the world, how he could do in their pagan culture what they couldn't do. This is because his role, according to Jesus, is that he convicts unbelievers of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, have you ever tried to convince somebody they're wrong? How would that go?
Not too good.
Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. And we don't need to be trying to do what the Holy Spirit does, right? But we need to focus on what he's called us to do. He could, in their pagan culture, do what they could not do. He could convict them of their sins, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit convinces the non-believer they need a Savior. They were looking, but they were convinced their Savior is Jesus Christ. It is then that they're born again and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit began and discipleship begins to take place. And the truth is, without God regenerating and newing our lives to be like Him, there's just this huge vacuum, this void within us. Without God in our lives, we embark on our self-directed journey to find something to fill that void. A void that only God can fill. And without Him, our search without Him becomes frustrating and futile. Any of y'all ever been there before? Now, the Apostle Paul understood the importance of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. And in many of those churches that were working to change their culture as the Holy Spirit worked into them. And if you read most of his letters, he begins with a prayer. And here in Ephesians 3:16, Paul offers a wonderful, deeply significant prayer for the believers in Ephesus. And a very pagan culture. And for all the believers who read the epistle. So as we read it today, we can read it just like Paul's writing it to us. Does that make sense? I think sometimes we forget that. That when we read the Bible, it is God's word to us, written for us in our day and age in which we live. So let's see what he says here. Paul writes. Now, you know how Paul can get. So I'm going to go through this kind of easy here. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. I'm praying. From whom every member in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you. And you is who?
Us.
According to the riches of his glory. Wow. He's going to grant to us according to the riches of his glory, that ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto the fullness of God. Did y'all get that? That's a lot there, isn't it? You could go several weeks on that. But we're going to run through it this morning and try to understand what Paul is praying about. Paul is praying for these believers in Ephesus. Paul is praying for us today to be strengthened with the power of the Holy Spirit, because he recognized the extreme importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer and in a church. So here, the power of the Spirit exhibits itself or shows itself in four ways. First of all, he talked about in Christ dwelling in our hearts. So the Holy Spirit exhibits Christ dwelling within our hearts. The word translated dwell in this passage is a very strong word. Many of y'all have a dwelling place, right? Huh? We stayed there last night? You had a dwelling place? To dwell. To dwell down. To settle down. To dwell deep. That's what the word means. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to form the living Christ within us. Dwelling deep down in the deepest depths of our being. Now, Paul's trying to explain something that's true, but a lot of times it's hard to put these concepts into words. Dwelling deep within us. Christ in us. This is what keeps us God-centered. Huh? This is what keeps us God-centered and not self-centered. Without the Holy Spirit working within us, and bringing Christ to dwell deep within our hearts, we go our own way and we do our own thing. Think about this. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, it was there that he made atoning sacrifice for our sin. bearing the curse of the broken law. Look, if there was no Ten Commandments, there wouldn't be a law to be broke. We'd be home free then. We could compare ourselves to each other. Well, I'm better than Jerry. You know what Jerry did last week? You know what he said? You know? Yeah, you know, we can say, well, I'm good. You know, I'm gooder than Dale. Right? Or try this one. Why do bad things happen to good people? Without no law, we could say that. But you know what? Ain't none of us good. Not according to the Word of God. We're cursed with a curse. Anything we consider might be good are filthy rags in His sight. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The law has cursed us. Everybody, how many kept the Ten Commandments this week? All right. I know one man said he did, but Jesus got to talking to him. He kind of tucked his tail between his legs and walked off. But when Christ died on that cross of Calvary, that atoning sacrifice for our sin, he bore the curse of the broken law in our place. And so think about this. It's on the cross that we have Christ to die for us. For, three-letter word. But when by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the death that he died, he poured out the Holy Spirit on all believers, and now we have Christ in us. This is the secret of the Christian life. The early church entered their pagan culture armed with the power of the Holy Spirit, looking like the Jesus that they believed in. We hear a great deal about people talking about what would Jesus do. And it's true that we must pursue to live just like Jesus. In 1 John, he reminds us, chapter 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 25. I'll read this from the Message. It says, this is the kind of life you've been invited to live, the kind of life Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so that you would know it could be done, and also how to do it step by step. He never did one thing wrong. Not once said anything amiss. Man, what footsteps to follow in. The Bible makes it clear, though, that we should walk as Jesus walked. But the truth is, any attempt on our part to walk and to imitate Christ in our own strength will only result in utter disappointment and despair. There's nothing more futile that we could ever possibly attempt than to imitate Christ in the power of our own will. I know some of us are stubborn, but we're not that stubborn. If we desire to do so in our own strength, it will be simply because we have a very incomplete knowledge of who Jesus Christ really is. The more we study Jesus and his life, the more perfectly we understand his conduct in his culture. The more we understand his character in his culture, the more clearly we see his sinless life, his love for people. And the more we look at Jesus and focus upon him, the more we see how far short we have come from imitating him. Anybody had a problem with that this week? But the good news is, God does not demand of us the impossible. He does not demand that we imitate Christ in our own strength. He offers us something infinitely better. He offers to form Christ in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Now think about that for a minute, chew on that. He promises to form Christ in us. And when Christ is formed in us by the Holy Spirit's power, all we have to do is to let this indwelling Christ live out his own life in us. And then we shall be like the Christ without the struggle and the effort of our own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In and of ourselves are full of weakness and failure. But the Holy Spirit is able to form within us the Holy One of God, the indwelling Christ. He will live out his life through us in all of our relationships in life. He will live out his life through the mother of the home, through the worker in the factory, through the teacher in the classroom, through the businessman in his office, through the law officer in the community, through the retirees at the cafe, through every believer everywhere. Glory to God. We can count on the Holy Spirit to form the living Christ within us as we live today in our present culture. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit also exhibits itself in our being rooted and grounded in love. That was verse 17. Paul illustrates with two figures here. First is the figure taken from the tree shooting its roots down deep into earth and taking fast to hold upon it. You know how important it is for the roots of a plant or a tree to go deep into the earth? Because one day a storm's going to come. Huh?
Yep.
And if the roots don't go deep, you know what's going to happen? It's going to fall over. Yeah, y'all ever set the biker back up? Biker plant. Yep. The second figure is taken from a great building with its foundations laid deep in the earth on a rock. I remember sometime last year, I was reading an article about a building out there in California. I can't even remember the name of it now. It's this huge building, and it's sinking. I mean, it's huge. These millionaire people live in it. Huge tower building. And what they found out is when they first put the foundation down, they thought they were on stone, but they weren't. And that thing is sinking. And they spent more money trying to keep it not sink than they spent building it. And it's still sinking. It's not built on the right foundation. So Paul is telling us here that by the strengthening of the Spirit in our lives, we send the roots of our life deep down into the soil of love. Think about that. And that the foundations of the superstructure of our character are built upon the rock of love. Paul reminded the Romans, and in Romans 13:10, he says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I mean, if you think about it, love and the importance of it, love is what we all most need in our relationship to God. I mean, if we truly loved God with all our hearts, there'd probably be a lot of things in our life that changed. We tend to love when it's convenient. We need love in our relationship to God, our love to Jesus Christ, and our love for one another. We're used to the convenience of love. But what good is love if it's convenient? Love is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to root and to ground our lives in love. Deep within us, the Holy Spirit works to form and maintain a real and meaningful relationship between Christ, one that is deep within us. His desire is to dwell in us so that we can be rooted and grounded in love, because Jesus Christ himself is the perfect, absolute embodiment of divine love. The culture of the early church was lost and pagan, But they loved them just like Christ. And they went out and carried the gospel, the good news to them, because they loved them. The Holy Spirit, rooted and grounded deep within us, enables us as believers to live the greatest commandments. It was Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with thy soul, with all thy mind." Jesus said it's the first and greatest commandment. And if we really read and understand that, that would keep us busy for a long while. But Jesus said there's another one, the second, like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Without the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we can't love God. And we certainly will have no concern for our neighbors. The Holy Spirit, though, exhibits to us and to our culture, as He's working within us, He exhibits to us that we're rooted and grounded in God's love. If it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, probably duck in it. The Holy Spirit also exhibits itself within, and this is kind of long right here now, our being made strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth all understanding. In other words, it's not enough that we love. You know, we can love when it's convenient. It's not enough that we love when we feel like it. We must know the love of Christ. And you know what? It is a love that is so much greater than knowledge. No one has the knowledge to be able to understand the vastness and the greatness of the love of God. It is so broad, it is so long, it is so high, so deep, that no one can comprehend it. Hang on, preacher, that ain't very encouraging. But, there's that word, we can apprehend it. We can lay hold of it. We can make it our own. We can hold it before us as the object of our meditation and our worship and our wonder and our joy and our life. But it is only in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can apprehend it. Without the Spirit, man cannot understand the spiritual things of God. Our carnal, worldly mind cannot grasp it at all in our own natural strength. A person that is untaught and strengthened by the Holy Spirit of God may talk about the love of Christ. They may write poetry about the love of Christ. They may write songs about the love of Christ. But it's only words. 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 There's really no apprehension. No magnification. No exhibition to a lost culture. But the Spirit of God makes us strong to really comprehend it in all its breadth and its length and its depth and its height. Wow. The love of God is a divine, true, and everlasting love. Oh, how we need that today in our lives, in our culture. The love that is true and everlasting and divine. It is the sure foundation of our faith in Him. Love, this divine love, is the foundation of our faith in God, and it gives us absolute assurance that we're never alone or never without help. Because God's love is unfailing, it's eternal, and it's unconditional. You know, we like conditional love, don't we? Yeah. But God's love is unconditional. We can't earn it, and we can't lose it. God's love, and He loved the world so much, the whole world, that He gave His only Son to die, and to die for our sins. This bold fact alone is very important evidence of God's great love for us. This love has the power to transform hearts, to heal wounds, to bring hope and eternal life to all who believe. And it has the power to change a pagan culture. The Holy Spirit gives the believer the ability to comprehend the great vastness of God's perfect love. And the last thing is here, the Holy Spirit exhibits itself in our being filled unto all the fullness of God. I kept watching my gas needle for about 2 weeks. I said, well, now they're about a quarter tank, you know, I need to fill up. Best what? Put it off. And after several days, I got in and I looked and it said, you got about 6 miles, you're going to be out. Huh? Y'all, I know y'all have never done that. God wants to keep us on full. He don't want us running on empty. Huh? What did Red Brother do? We'd rather run on empty, haven't we? There's a very important change between the authorized and the revised version in the translation. Authorized reads, filled with all the fullness of God. The revised version reads, filled unto all the fullness of God. It seems the translators of the authorized version staggered at what Paul was saying and sought to tone it down a little bit. I mean, think about this. It's easy to take a red solo cup, right? And to fill it with all the fullness of the ocean. Single dip will do it, won't it? Huh? Single dip. But it would be impossible to take that same pot cup and to fill it unto all the fullness of the ocean. Filling a pot cup unto all the fullness of the ocean is that it's impossible. A pot cup can never hold everything that's in the ocean. You can fill it with what's in the ocean, but you can't put the fullness of all the ocean in that cup. But that's precisely what the Holy Spirit undertakes to do for us. I mean, this is big right here. He wants to fill us unto all the fullness of the infinite God, which means with God there's no end to His greatness and vastness. He wants to fill us with all the intellectual and moral fullness that there is in God. I mean, He created us in His image. Did He not?
Yes.
Church, the truth is, this is every believer's destiny. Because in Romans 8, Paul reminds us, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We are heirs to the extent that Jesus Christ is an heir of God. That is, we are heirs to all that God is and all that God has. You're rich and don't even know it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to apply to us that which is already ours in Jesus Christ. Think about our position here. We're not trying to attain something. We've already attained it. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring about in us this powerful change deep within us that we are filled into all the fullness of God. You know, and this is not the work of a moment or a day or a week or a month or a year, but the Holy Spirit day in and day out puts His hand into the fullness and the vastness of God, and He pours into us what He's taken from God, the greatness of God, and He puts it within us. And then again, he puts his hand into the fullness that there is in God, and he conveys to us that which is taken from God, and he puts it into us. And this wonderful process goes on day in and day out, week in, week out, month in, month out. That's why we are to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. It never ends until we're filled into all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit does this. Oh, church, how we need him in our lives and in our culture. In conclusion, in a recent storm, a huge branch was broken off a large oak tree, and it was huge. The branch was larger than many oak trees. This was a big oak tree. On the way down, it took out other branches. And some months later, it still laid on the ground. Other than its size and conspicuous position, what makes this branch immediately identifiable is what? Its lack of color. All the other vegetation around it was pretty and green. But the leaves on this huge limb were dull brown, and its foliage withered and gray. We know why, don't we? When a branch is removed from its tree, it does what? It dies. Why does it die? It loses connection with its source of living. Church, the same is true of our relationship with Jesus. We can't expect to flourish spiritually if we're apart from him. We'll never change our culture without him in us. Listen, the vine holds nothing back from its branches. Nothing. It does everything that it can to pour out all of its life into them. So if we're disconnected from the vine, like that grape branch, we'll quickly wither and die. Because there's no spiritual life or power apart from Jesus. While on earth, Jesus talked a lot about us remaining or abiding in him. Our being in Christ needs to be ongoing. In Antioch, the non-Christian pagan culture was able to see Jesus mirrored in the life of those believers. You know what they called them? The pagan culture called them Christians. They were laughing at them and jeering at them. They said they act just like Jesus. They praised God. Our lost culture today needs to see in us. Our lost culture needs to see in us believers filled with the fullness of Christ, not a dead branch. The Holy Spirit makes this all possible. Glory to his name. Call out on him. Expect him to come. Expect him to do his work. That's his promise. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for that letter that Paul wrote to us, praying for us that Christ would dwell deep within us, being rooted and grounded in us, that we can really begin to understand the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of your great love. That we can be filled to all the fullness of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Let's turn to 153 in the hymnals and stand and sing all three verses of Worthy of Worship.
Thank you.
Once again, thanks for being present today and bringing the spirit of worship. Continue to remember those of asking interest in our prayers. We see the announcements listed. Also, the invitation for Experiencing God class, the prayer walk, sign-up sheet out front. And help with the benefit. Beverly's right over here, and she's smiling, okay? She's ready to get your name. All right. Anybody else have anything to say before we leave? All right. Pray for one another this week, and we be filled with the Spirit of God. Not envy. Not the spirit of jealousy. Not the spirit of hatred. And all those other bad spirits. By the precious Holy Spirit of God. Craig, would you dismiss us?
Father, you are worthy of our worship and praise, and we thank you for the Spirit that is dwelling in us. We pray, God, that you will empower us this week to say a word about your love and about your Spirit and how you came to save us.
Yes.
As we journey to the cross on Easter, help us to be mindful of those that are less fortunate than we are. Help us to be mindful of those that are different.
Yes.
And help us to be mindful of the love that you told us to carry to each and every person that we meet.
Yes, Lord.
Now go with us. Bless us and strengthen us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.